That sometimes when people come in who we don't know, we're a bit wary and we take a while to warm up to people, especially in this congregation. I really want to encourage you. I know Kala very well for a long time. He's a faithful man of the Lord, and he really carries the heart of God. So I want to ask that we really receive him with open hearts this morning. Amen.
All right. Good morning. It's good to be with you guys. So yesterday I was with the youth time, and I must say it was a lot of life there. But I was also in the hands of another guy called Luke. And they say when Luke asks you to preach, it means actually you might. There's no guarantee. And I was wondering this morning as well, as things was flying here, whether I will find my way up to the mic. But I've got it. I've got it. So, just before I'm going to start, me and my wife were just speaking. There's my wife, Naga. Made in Japan. Came to South Africa. I am right. I must say, it's not something that I experienced when I came here. I must say, you guys were vibing. It was like a lot of life, even just coming here at 8:30 already. But just something, and I don't know where you guys are at and the different people, you know, come here and experiencing this thing called church. And, you know, church is a very loaded word, and we grew up with that name, and there's something associated with this, and sometimes that thing of what it is stick with us. But what we felt is that for some of us here, the way that you see the church is it's a restaurant. It's a food quarter. There's a couple of options in Cape Town, you know. So you go visit around and see how's the menu. Some is a bit more spicy than others. Some very bland. Some is fast food. You get in, you get out, but you know. But whatever suits you and fit you for that specific time, you will choose your church according to your preference in menu. And so you will come, and maybe you are even one of those that sticks to your restaurant. Oh, well done, man. So you go on a Sunday, you go, you have your meal, and you go home. But can I say to you, the church is not a restaurant, right? The church is really an army. And if you join, you join up to a mission. And we do eat. We have to. We don't want hungry soldiers out there that is worthless. But you eat not as an end. You eat as a means to line yourself up with the mission. And every soldier here needs to understand he's got a purpose and something to do. He is not an attendee. Just eat your food and go home. I've been to church. That's not. We don't attend the church. It's not. We are the church. We are an army. We are the people of God that signs us up to this mission. And just even for some, I see that shift, and it's a significant shift that changes everything from my understanding of the church of being a restaurant to an army. Sign up, guys. Give yourself to this thing. Oh, it's the best and the most beautiful. All right. Then for the message for today, all right. I've got a little verse here for you. But before I give that verse, Matthew 16, verse 24 to 25, I'll just give you guys a little bit of a lineup to it. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" That's quite a question. Who do the people say I am, right? And so some say you are a prophet. Some say you're John the Baptist that got alive again. And so he throws it to them. Who do you say I am? And you guys won't believe, someone got the right answer. Peter got the right answer. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Peter, because you got the right answer." No, he didn't. We are not blessed for the right answer. You guys know that. The church is concerned about the right answer. the right actions, the right moves. Hallelujah. We are charismatic, and we have learned the subculture of every move and every act with it. And after a while, we perfected it. We got the right answer and the right action. But Jesus didn't say, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because you answered correctly. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father that is in heaven. You have not merely learned this answer from your parents. You have not merely learned this answer from your pastor. You have not merely picked up a subculture around you, and after a while you do all the moves correctly. But what you have, you've got through relationship and revelation. And so God is not asking what's the answer. He's asking, where did you get your answer? Do you live out of relationship? First-hand Christianity? Or do you live second-hand Christianity? We say Sunday school correct. God doesn't care about correct. He doesn't care about your moves. Where did you get it? All right. So Peter got a well done there, you know. And that become a real well done because, you know, I'll call you the rock on the revelation, not on Peter. Keys to the kingdom. And then Jesus makes this announcement. And he says, guys, on this topic, since I am the Christ, the Messiah, the one that will, we thought, deliver Israel, I just want to tell you a little bit about my future. In a not very long from now, I am about to die on a cross. I don't know if you mentioned the cross there, but die. 3 days will rose again. They didn't hear that part, you know. We are selective hearers. What? I'm about to die. Now, for Peter and his disciples that's been suspecting he is and thinking they're following a guy that finally is going to be the top dog and we will be the followers of the top dog. We've got our vision. We've got our plan. We've laid down everything for this. And Jesus is now about to, he announces, I'm not going to be the top dog soon. I'm going to die. Peter had to step up there because Peter's a man of faith. Positive faith. He doesn't like small thinking. We're going to conquer the world, my Messiah. No ways will it ever be Jesus. And he says to him, no, Jesus, you will not. And Jesus turns to him and says this to him, from the man that got the blessed to get behind me, Satan. How is that for a fall, right? Get behind me, Satan. Why? Because Peter, you think like a man. You don't think like me. You value and make significance the things that man makes significant. And in that sense, get behind me, Satan. And then he makes this beautiful statement. That was just the introduction to this verse. So verse 24 says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, and there's three little tasks for those of you that actually want to follow Jesus. All right? Because following Jesus will mean you following the Messiah and you'll become great. No. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Number one. Number two, pick up his cross. Number three, follow me. Then the verse after this, he says, verse 25. Whoever would save his life, whoever would hold on to his life, would lose it. But whoever loses his life, for my sake, will find it. This is a very interesting verse. It's repeated, I think, in all the Gospels, but also in John. Unless a seed of grain falls to the ground and die, in that stage, there's a Grecian man that comes to Jesus. And the disciple says to him, listen here, we can cover the whole world. This Grecian guy wants to know what's the message. And Jesus says, no, I'm not called to the Greeks. I'm just called to the Jews for now, so let the guy go. And so they can't understand it. I thought we've got a worldwide mission here, Jesus. You're thinking small again, Jesus. We big boys. We think big. You think small. And then Jesus repeats this verse, but he says, unless a seed of grain falls to the ground and dies, it can by no means produce a harvest. And again, he says, whoever loses his life will find it. Now, that's an interesting concept, you know. But in this instance, and I'm not a Greek show-off at all, But you know the word life, as we would translate it in the English Bible, is life. But you know, there's three different Greek words for the word life that's translated life. The first one is bios. That just means we are alive. Luckily, I can say we all have bios here. All right? And you know Ananias and Sapphira. Well, Peter is preaching here, so we can say there is bios here. Then there's two other words. It's the other one is life is Zoe, which is spirit life or God life. John 10 verse 10. So I come to give you life and life more abundantly. This is life, that you would know me. John 17 verse 3. I am the bread of life. John 6 35. I think I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know what that life is? You better know that life. I was actually seeking for that life my whole life. I didn't know that. But I had an emptiness inside of me. And so I seek to fill that emptiness. And I was ambitious in filling that. And I was deceived in many ways in how I will get it filled. So I just wanted to be great, famous, or whatever it would be. I just had to have more talent for that. But the best that I could, I'm trying to make it up. And in some state, I thought I would be a great rugby player. So good to have Damien Willemser with us here today. His cousin, his nephew, he came to Stellenbosch. He introduced himself to someone in the congregation as Damien Willemser's brother. I promise you, and this guy started fighting with me after a while. I'm saying, no, he's not his brother. He is his brother. He told me. I asked him, where's Damien? He says, Damien is not doing so well at the moment, but he will be back. It's like... Anyway, you guys, I explored different things to find life. I actually had my first true encounter outside of a club in Cape Town, high on acid, trying to buy more acid. The first shot wasn't enough, so I tried to get more. And so I tried to find different means to find life. Man, I wouldn't lie to you. I had good parties, man, really good ones. It was nice. It was good. There was here and there. I wasn't that successful, but there were here and there ladies that I really want. And every now and then, really every now and then, I will get there. And it was good. But yet my heart remained empty. And then I didn't know that which was revealed or hidden to me from all the ages is that God created me to find life in me. And I won't find meaning until I find Him. And then the day I met Him, life made sense. I came to Zoe. I came to life. It was, everything around me was good. It was great. But I remained empty. And then I met the Lord. I met Jesus. He is the life. The bread of life. What does Jesus mean by Him saying, I am the bread of life? I am your satisfaction. He satisfied me. I finally found life. But there's a third life, and this is the life that is referred to here. It's psyche, self-life. Whoever loses his life. Revelation 12:11 says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving our lives, even unto death. You see, there's a different enemy to that life of God. And it's the self-life that I still believe, if only like Peter, can become great in whatever ways. If only I achieve there, if only I can get that. And I pursue that self-life in order for satisfaction. And Jesus makes this announcement, these two can never live together. You either lay down the one, you either lose psyche in order to gain Zoe, or you hold on to psyche, my self-life, but then you'll never gain Zoe. Whoever loses his life will find life. Now, disciples, are you ready? Whoever wants to follow me, number one, must deny himself. We're going to lose our lives now. That's what we're going to do. We want life. Okay, lose it. You want Zoe? Okay, lose it. We're going to be disciples. Now, here's Jesus' challenge for us, for whoever wants to be that. So first one is deny yourself. Now, denying yourself is a position. Now, when I was at TNT at the Bible school there, all kinds of people coming through. I had a German girl coming through there. German girls was quite refreshing because there wasn't that much emotion behind what she said, even though there was a lot of emotion. But there was not a lot of emotion communicating, and it was straight to the point. I struggle with Afrikaans ladies, you know. The smile is great. But what's really going on, you know? Ja, Tani, ja, oom. So this German lady was a hard nut to crack, you know, and I at some stage I said to her, look, my last resort, I pull out the Bible and I was like, listen, at least can we agree on this? Whatever this book says, will you follow it? She looks at me and she says, well, depends what it says. It's like, I'll do, I mean, it's like, I thought I can get her on this one, you know? But she was just very honest and saying, well, I'll have my line. And you can throw that, but it depends what it says. There was a little bit of self-love there that she was just very honest about, which was refreshing. Look, what car do you have? Did it also drown? You still have your car? Or, huh? You still got it. What is it? Volvo, is it for sale? It's Volvo, a Volvo, yeah, that, I can understand that. Volvo is not for sale. For a Christian price, faster to faster. ₹50,000. Ah, well. The Afrikaner girl would have said, we will pray about it. ₹100,000. ₹500,000. See, I could go on. 1 million, 5 million, they would have cracked, definitely. See, but in one way, they have announced that the car is not for sale. And so have you declared that you are not for sale. But it depends what the devil brings to you. I thought you're not for sale. And I've seen many believers that's declared they're not for sale until the enemy brought a price that was so worth it. And I want to say, if you have a price, the enemy will bring it. We don't make deny myself a place where we say, depend on what you ask. It is a position that we finally have come to, that no matter what, I am not for sale. Now, you know, I'm in Stellenbosch. There's quite a number of UCT guys here. What? All right. So, in Stellenbosch, and I suppose a little bit similar in UCT, There is this, you know, we've got, I must say, the Stellenbosch Christian community is considerably bigger than the UCT community, I would say. But there is this thing of you come to Stellenbosch, the whole culture and the whole environment is there to fulfill your dreams and to make what God, or not, sorry, not God, I'm just like, to whatever you wish to come about. And I've seen the Christians as better than the world, you know, because the world says with hard work, with dedication, with whatever it takes, I can fulfill my dreams. But the church is better. Because the church says, I'm not going to rely on myself. I'm not just going to rely on hard work. I'm going to ask God to fulfill my dreams. It's beautiful, man. So, I want to encourage you guys. This is going to shock you guys. Just stop dreaming, please. So 1 Corinthians 6, 19 verse 20. I just want to, let's just consider our, you guys don't seem to be happy about this one, okay? Will you do it if the Bible says it? All right, I'm going, huh? Okay, give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought. Listen, you are bought. No, it's not like I'm not my own. You're not. You were bought. It's like Luke's car. It's bought. It's his. I think it's bought. Like sometimes Christians just get cars. But it's his. It's not your property. You've been bought by somebody else. That's how slavery worked in the first century. You buy a person. You've been bought by a price. You are not your own. Let's imagine first century master slavery situation. The master calls the slaves together and says, let's have a dreaming session. What's your dream? Let's just go wild. I mean, it's like, what do you want? You think that's in any way what a first century slave time would be about? No. You have one purpose and one purpose alone, to please my master. And my dream and my function, there is not even any dream along. My whole consume is, what does my master want? I had a guy that I walked around. I love this guy so much. We walked the road. But he was also one of these guys, just what does ever is in you just comes out, you know. And he told me a couple of years ago, like, he's on his way, you know. South Africa's too small for him. Stellenbosch is too small for him. And Stellenbosch is great, but I'm thinking he feels too small. Europe, you know, the world is his oyster, and he's about to go somewhere. And I ask him, like, I just wanted to ask God about it. I mean, is he like, you're just off? And he says to me, as innocent, and he's like, I'm going there, but look, God is more than welcome to join me. Wow. Dreamers. Have you not invited God into your dream? So, my great-great-grandfather was from Switzerland. He was a Swiss missionary. And how it worked in that days, guys, this is crazy, but that's how it worked. In his Bible school or seminary, whatever he belonged to, when you enter, when the day that you enter, you had to sign a document. And this is what the document said. If you complete this course, you must go wherever we send you. Will you sign? So he signed. So when he was finished, they send him. Now you guys will probably not know this town. But there's a town in the middle of the Karoo called Williston. Yeah, wrong crowd here. But there is, I promise you, You guys have heard what Lucas said about me. You guys trust me. There is really a town in the middle of the Karoo, Williston. You probably have drove through it and past it and even not noticed. But there's that town. And had happened 150 or 200 years ago, there was a local people, a farming community drove past, and things happened. And out of that, out of the farmers that moved past, a bastard community came out, which was rejected, and find themselves then in the middle of nowhere in the Karoo. Somebody in Switzerland heard of that and asked my great-great-grandfather to go there and be a missionary to them from Switzerland. Woohoo! You signed the paper. So he went in the middle of the Karoo. Today, that town is small. I don't want to know how that town. It was probably not even a town. It's just like, I don't know what to call it. Village would also be too big. So he's there. And after a little while, he sends a letter to the mission board. And he says, it's going well. I need a wife. Genuine, true story. Now, guys, I don't know. I don't have the facts, but I think for the girls that goes to that Bible school, you need to send a paper. Whenever a missionary in the field needs a wife, will you go? No, you must go. It's not will you. It's like, sorry, you must. Sign the paper. This woman signed the paper. So he get a letter back. We are sending wife. Pick her up at Cape Town Harbor on this date. So it's not tar roads, guys. No cars. Ox cart. It's a mission. It's now today 6 hours drive of the car from that town. A couple of days that you go with an ox cart and find your way down to the Cape Town Harbor. So he waits. He waits for the ship to come in. Gets his wife. To be. So he says to her, listen, nice to meet you. We're going to have to travel for a long time. We're young. We're about to get married. So maybe to remove all temptation, let's immediately go from the harbor to somewhere to Sea Point, one of the oldest little chapels, get married, and travel all the way back. So she got off the ship, got to the chapel, get married, and was taken to the little town in the middle of the Karoo. My mom had the privilege. She never met the guy. My mom had the privilege. A young, young girl that this lady was actually alive. The story is it was an incredible, incredible woman. Marriage worked, powerful work for God there. But didn't you know when you choose to become a Christian, you had to sign the paper? You didn't know? Wherever, whenever, whatever. Well, you're right to sign that paper. What did you think? Depends what it asks. Is that? If you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself. Sign the paper. You know, sometimes the experience that comes up with me when I know the Lord is saying, no, let's take your choice out of it. I've bought you, you mine. Wherever, whenever, whatever. A little bit of fear comes up. What if he asked me to marry that guy? A little bit of fear comes in, like, all right? A little bit of fear. Have you guys ever, I won't ask Luke because he probably will not even know what I'm saying. Have you guys ever played Spin the Bottle? I'm looking at the faces. I'm looking at the responses. Some are already blushing, I see it. Don't you? How does that game work again, Alec? Any volunteers to explain to us? No, nobody knows. I've asked this recently at Stellenbosch, and then they explained, and I had to stop them. Not that one. Okay. So maybe before someone goes too far and too quick in the explanation, let me choose the one that I will explain. So there was numerous ones, but the bottom line is you spin the bottle. Someone spins the bottle, and wherever the head of the bottle points to, you know, there's different things that could be asked. But the way then, and I will say, is dare, truth, or command. And so then when you ask dare, truth, or command, the person, when it's truth, it's understood that you have to tell the truth. And so you will choose something, obviously, that you know is quite embarrassing to that person, that maybe just you know, and now you're going to embarrass them in front of your old friends, and you have that leverage to do that. Nobody with us ever played there, because there was a little bit of you could get out of it. Command was the brave thing to do. So it is actually true for command. Command was really brave. And sometimes you had the privilege to spin first, and you had your friend. And then just the guard is a little bit off. You remember a few things that has happened lately, and you see him trying to be brave, but actually so scared, saying, come on, come on. And you let rip. But you know, they say sometimes the wheel is turning, but sometimes the bottle is turning. And that same friend get that opportunity. And it falls on you. And you see in his eyes revenge. He's not going to come soft. He's going to let rip on you. And you cannot get out truth. Truth will be hard. He'll get it out of you. But that will be a step back. And you need to be brave here. And you say, come on, come on. Command. And if you look into that eyes, what is the experience that comes up at that moment? It's fear. God, in some ways, and here what I'm saying is, he's not playing spin the bottle, but the bottle is on you. Whoever wants to follow me, whoever wants to be my disciple, guys, I want all truth. And I am the liberty to command you wherever. Are you in? There's a little bit of fear, right? That's why there is this, are you crazy? That's why we are going, sign the paper, are you crazy? I feel much safer with my life in my hands. I make much greater choices for my life. But there's a verse that says this, in the eyes of the Lord, perfect love. Why do we fear? Because we don't know the one in whose hands we're placing ourselves. Because we don't trust him. That's putting my hands in God, completely signed the paper. What do you mean? Like he can tell me anything? We don't know him. And we don't know the one that's asking us to deny it all. He is our master, but he's also our good father. And there is this crazy, crazy thing that whoever delight himself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. This is this funny thing. As I deny myself and he commands me, it's sometimes and many times, not all the times, he co-syncs it with my desire. Suddenly his will becomes my desire. Suddenly my food, Jesus would say, is to do the will of the Father. Suddenly, his will becomes the most satisfying thing ever. But there is that. Whoever loses itself, sign the paper. I can tell you on the other side, it is great. You know the story of the man that went to climb a mountain, and then as he's kind of finding his way back, it's getting darker and darker, and he's on his rope, and it's becoming so dark, so he's just feeling his way, and the next moment he slips, and he just hangs on the rope, and he looks down, and he can't see anything, and he shouts, "Help!" And he hears the voice of the Lord says, "Cut the rope." And he says, "Anybody else?" The next morning they found a man dead, frozen to death, 4 feet above the ground. I don't think the story is true, guys, because he wouldn't have been able to retell the story. But it's a nice story, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Cut the rope. Anybody else? The Lord is not saying, sign that paper. He's saying, sign that paper. Cut the rope. Cut the rope. Okay. If you guys have signed the paper, we can move on to the next point. We're going to be quick here, right? So you signed the paper. We're going to pick up a cross now. You guys ready? Okay. First one, deny yourself. For those of you that's still with us, the next point is for you. Pick up the cross. Now you're ready. You want to pick up the cross. What is this cross that Jesus is referring to? Now, this is probably not the most theological. I get away with it mostly with my definition. Look, I'm not going to get away with it, but please excuse me. This might not be the most theologically grounded ever definition of the cross, but I think it works. So Jesus says, pick up not his cross. You can't. Pick up your cross. He's got a cross specifically for you. Don't compare yourself. That's what we do. Brother Eunice prayed 74 hours nonstop. I want to pick up that cross. No, don't do that. Luke is fasting and praying 7 days a week. That's why the guy's never picking up weight, right? Don't pick up Luke's cross, guys. Jesus got a cross for you. And what we do is we look at that brother and go, whoa, and you try and pick up that cross. No. He's got a cross for you. It's beautiful. You would love it. Now here's my definition of the cross. The cross is when God's will is going this way and my will is going this way. Somewhere your will and God's will are going to cross. If you've been a Christian for longer than 2 days, you might have come across your cross. Of the Lord requiring you to do something that you don't want. Now, here's a religious lie, guys. If ever I enjoy something, it can't be God. Just be careful. There's some of us that's overly zealous and want to take the killing process onto ourselves. We have heard this life of laying down everything and we want to die for the Lord. And so as soon as I'm enjoying something, there must be something wrong. This can't be God. Because God will never let me have any fun. If my bed is fun, I'm on the floor. I won't sleep on it. Now that's a lie, guys. That's a lie. That the enemy sometimes creep in. The enemy catches us on both ways, right? He sometimes wants us, you know, we hold on to our lives, but sometimes religion throws us onto the other side and we want to beat up ourselves in Jesus' name. Don't worry, guys. He'll be faithful. Jesus will be faithful to kill you. Let him do it. You know, that's the one death that you cannot commit suicide. If anybody ever tried to commit suicide by crucifixion, you hit the first one in. Oh, shucks. You can't commit suicide by the crucifixion. Somebody needs to do it for you. Jesus will be faithful. All right? All that he needs you to do is to do his will. Now, we sometimes are tricky on this thing. You know, there's a story about Saul in the Bible, not the one that later called Paul, but Saul, that God told him, listen, I'm giving you this battle, but when you've conquered them, I want you to wipe out everything. So he's done that, war is finished, and Samuel, that gave him the word, comes to him, Saul, I'm so glad that you've overcome, and so on. Yeah, you know, all Jesus, all God, you know. It's like, and then he says, but Saul, I'm hearing in the background, I'm hearing some sheep, and I'm hearing some mooing, I'm hearing some cows. Didn't Lord say you need to kill everything? Yeah, no, I know, but I was thinking, these cows are so good, I will sacrifice it to the Lord. I will give it to the Lord. I won't kill it. I'll give it to the Lord. And Saul says to him, and that's actually the moment that God left Saul. And he says, Saul, don't you know that obedience is always better than sacrifice? You know, sometimes the Lord said to you, I don't want you to spend time with those people. And you say, God, I will pray for them. I didn't ask you to pray for them. Just don't spend time with them. And we find ways to sidestep obedience in negotiation with sacrifices. I'll pray more. I'll evangelize to them. I mean, God, I'll evangelize to them. I didn't ask you to evangelize to them. Yes? Just be... Oh, that one fell harder. That one fell hard. You know, this, when the eye is bothering us, it's better to pluck him out. When the hand is bothering us, it's so final. Cut it off. But don't trick and try and trick God with your sacrifices in order to sidestep obedience. Pick up your cross. Not somebody else's. Don't be creative here. Just do what he asks you. And he'll be faithful to do the work that he needs to. Okay, guys, for those that are still with us, willing to deny themselves, willing to pick up his cross, one last thing, and then you guys can become disciples. Follow him. Now, I've seen in my life many times that God has asked me to do something and I obeyed in my flesh. Oh, not in my flesh, in my body. Okay, I've done it now, okay? Here I am. I've done your will. And now what? Huh? You wanted me to do it? Here I am. But I reserved my heart. You know, there's a little boy that went to the dentist. And the dentist says to him, lay down, I want to pull out the teeth. And the little boy says, no, I'm not going to. The dentist says, lay down. He says, no, I won't. The dentist comes and he straps the boy to the chair. And slowly the chair is going back. And the boy goes slowly back and he shouts out, my body is laying down, but my heart is standing up. You know, people can move your body, but no one can move your heart. That's the one that you reserve. You'll smile and wave. There's Afrikaner ladies. Huh? I'll smile and wave. But they won't give their hearts. If you want to see the most unhappiest people ever, it's people that do the will of God in their body, but they don't give their heart with it. I've seen it so many times in Bible school. People going, I followed the Lord. I've, you know, heard the Lord and I do it. I mean, you're here, but your heart is not here. This place is horrible, God. I thought I'm doing your will, but now I just feel like this and this and this. Yeah, it's because you just obey in body, but not in heart. Now, I was, like I said to you guys, I always wanted to be great. That was my thing before I got saved. And then, you know, by the age of 22, I was such a loser. I mean, I was just like a total, did I hear, I was like, really, I, and then I got radically saved. And soon they asked me, I was not even a year saved, or just about a year saved, and they asked me to run the youth. And this youth grew in the first couple of months bigger than the church. Now the dream got awakened again. I want to be great in Jesus' name. I want to be great for Jesus. I want to be a faith hero. All those type of things come by. You know, this little heart just couldn't handle that success. And in those days, they spoke about, you know, apostles. And I could understand he's the top dog, he's the greatest, and that's obviously what I am. So I'm kind of like, oh, I'm an apostle here. I was like, now I'm barely a year saved. And in that time, I mean, here I am honest, there are certain things that I felt like the Lord, I was sharper in certain things that even at that stage, yes, I'm saying it humbly, but maybe God will never say, no, you won't. But I thought so, at least, that I got certain revelation that I felt like even our leadership at the time didn't get. And I'm like, these losers need to lead me now. And so then I went to them in all humility and said, guys, I think it's time for me to move. I'm called as an apostle. I'll just move on. If you guys want, I can still come and visit the youth every now and then. I couldn't believe that they had a problem with that. It's like... And then for somebody that really I trusted a lot, came to me and had a prophetic word and says, the Lord says you shouldn't go. You should stay with them. I picked up my cross. Like, God, these guys, they don't have the revelation that I have. They don't see. And to be honest, Lord, they're losers. I mean, But I will submit. So I determined in my heart that I will do what they say. I'll smile when they want me to. I'll go right when they want to. But I'm not going to give in my heart. That one I keep. And I need to come under a way of thinking that I'm so much more superior. So I will smile and wave. But don't think like I'm going to throw my heart behind it and I'm going to believe in this stuff. And anyway, you know, I'm just like, so I do what you say. And then one day the Lord comes to me and he says to me, I want you to give your heart. And I had to speak to the Lord about this one. I said to him, Jesus, I can't give my heart. Because you've given me certain revelation, and I walk in a liberty and a freedom in a greater way that they don't. And for me to give myself to this, after what you've given me, Lord, that will be like, it will be like denying myself, Lord. Even the very thing that I got from God that I thought was so special, it was me that I held on to. He had full right for me to lay it down. I don't want your body here. I want your heart. Listen, guys, it's so easy. I see it every time. Deny myself, they pick up their cross, but they hold their hearts. They're not willing to follow. And even here, we've learned the culture of submission. I mean, it's like not just to people, but even to the will of God. We've learned to agree in body, but no one sees your heart. You're the captain, and you are skillful to show something in the outward and keep something in the inward. I will give them the pleasure of giving you in my heart. But he wants the heart. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. I want everything. I want the heart as well. You guys want to be disciples of Jesus here? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know the price. Sign the paper. He'll be waiting for you in the background. That's like amazing. Some people struggle to sign the Josh Jen membership form. Try and sign Jesus' form. I want your whole life, by the way. Everything. You don't belong to yourself. Anyway. Should we pray? Good. Just before we get you guys to sign the paper of following Jesus and pick up your crosses and completely lose your hearts, no longer reserving it but giving it, I just want to again, you know, make sure that for some of you, when I say lose your life to find life, you've actually never found the life that I encountered a couple of years ago, 23, 24 years ago. That even though I searched in many places, I was never fully satisfied. And come to know that the only one that ever will bring satisfaction is Him. And that satisfaction has brought so much assurance to me in so many ways. So much so that the one thing that it brought to me is that the assurance that death will never kill me. That I have eternal life. That I will one day when I die go to heaven. And you know what? If you're not sure that if you would die today that you'll go to heaven, you're probably in the category that don't know the Lord. When in doubt, you probably are not. And I know sometimes, you know, we can be alone. I've been part of this in so much. But actually, our hearts, the Lord has not been the life. And so if that's you this morning, and you want to say, I want to have the life. I want to have the assurance that even when I die today, that I will be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. If that's you, I'm going to just give you quickly an opportunity. Not quickly, we'll take our time. But so I'm going to count to three. If you can just raise your hand, please. We're not going to make a fuss, you know. Just me and you now. So if it's you, count to three. One, two, three. Just put up your hand. Thank you. Okay, there's somebody else there. So it's, I think there's two people. Three. Yeah, I've got him. Four. Okay. Okay. Anyway, you guys know. You guys' hands is up. I'm going to quickly pray for you guys, but I please want to ask, if you have put up your hand, can I come to you afterwards? If you've put up your hand, I'm going to pray for you now that you would please afterwards, Luke, the guy that's leading the church in the meeting that is here in front, if you guys can just please beg you, go to Him afterwards. So you that's put up your hand and want to say, Jesus, you come and satisfy, you come and be my life. So for you, we're praying. Please pray in your heart together. Jesus, I know, you guys don't have to repeat, but those that has put up your hand, please repeat in your heart. Jesus, I've come to know that I have found life satisfaction in so many things, but I realize that I've been created to have relationship with you. I've been created to find life and fulfillment in you. And Jesus, I today want to open up my heart so that you will become my life. Lord, I've turned to many things to satisfy. I've turned to many things to give life and have left me empty. But I realize today that you are the answer. Christ. And I want to acknowledge you. I want to accept you today as my answer. And if you've done that, I want to ask you that you would go afterwards. Please, 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 please go to Luke afterwards. It's important even for you just to confess that. But then I want to ask for the rest of us. Look, you guys know with this altar call, I mean, you guys have done the drills and so on. Just let us be clear. Putting up my hand does not mean I've denied myself. Right? But we sometimes just want to put some acknowledgement on the fact that, Jesus, here I am. This is the best I can have to agree with the call. I'm putting up my hand, if I'm standing up or whatever it might be. So here it is. If you're willing to, I'm saying sign that paper. If you're willing to say, I deny myself, meaning there is never a cost that the enemy can bring that will sell or sold me. I am sold. I don't belong to myself anymore. Take my dreams. Take everything. Here I am. If you want to say that and go on the journey, don't you want to please just stand up? You know, it's an interesting thing when Luke, when he introduced me, he said this. And that's how it is with the Lord, you know. It's he says, you guys don't know him that well, so I understand that trust will be difficult. Trust me that I trust him. But it's very hard to receive from somebody that you don't know, let alone give your whole life to. So I want to say, you know, even, you know, standing up here is one thing, but we know a life that's really denying ourselves. A life that's truly denying ourselves are made easy if we know the one we give it to. It changes everything. I want to say to you guys, after walking with the Lord, I trust my life so much more in His hands than in my hands. So much more. My dreams has just been disappointing. Really. Really, guys. It's a false hope. I've been liberated when I've stopped dreaming and my one goal is just to please the Lord. Oh, it's been a liberating life. It's been the freest life ever. I love to please Him. It is absolutely fulfilling and satisfying. But it's become increasingly easier as I know Him and I can trust Him. And so Father, we want to pray. As you see these guys, Lord. Are they yours now, Lord? You can send them. Some of them are willing to go to the Karoo. Some of them are willing to go anywhere. Look, they are willing. Lord, you see them. They've signed. They say, take me, God, wherever, whenever. I'm yours. You know, Lord. You know, Lord. But Lord, I ask because you're a good Father. Just be gracious with them. Be merciful with them, Lord. Lord, I know you. You are a good God. I know, Lord, that their lives in your hands is a safe space. But I don't know, Lord, always if they know it. So, Lord, I pray, may you come and show your love. May you come and show them how much you are for them. May you come and show them how safe they are in your hands. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Father, may they come to experience the absolute freedom and liberty to have a life fully in your hands. Bless them, Lord. Keep them and keep these hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just before we sit down, where's Tebogo? Anyone to come? Where are you? Yes, she just had a word. She shared it with me when we were in the prayer meeting. She was praying for us before this morning, and she had a word. And I did feel like the Lord wanted her to share it with us as a congregation. So, will you share it?
Last night when I was praying for church this morning, I felt the Lord say that there's someone here who is feeling like they want to leave the church or leave the faith. They feel like they're sitting like at the edge of your seat and like you're anxious and you feel like you can jump and just leave. And I felt the Lord saying, no, stay. I see you. Sit back. Don't sit on the edge of the seat.
So just in line with what Kala was sharing, I really feel that that is the Lord, that there's a wrestle in your heart and you've been actually wanting to leave the church. And I feel, just to pick up on what Kala said, that thing of maybe you're here in your body, but you haven't yet given your heart. And you're not experiencing the life of the Lord in the church, in the fellowship, because you've withheld your heart. And even what Kala was sharing about pride and, you know, being in a church himself, but feeling like the leaders in the church, you know, almost they're inferior to him. It was actually just a root of pride. And I feel like that might be a part of it, might not be the whole thing, but I really want to ask you in the Lord, if that is you, I feel for you to respond to that word from Tebogo. And what I want to ask you to do is to actually reach out to one of the elders this week and say, hey, I've been wrestling in my heart, but I want to give it. And actually verbalize that. Don't just make a decision in your heart, but even this morning, if you can, find one of the elders and say, hey, I've been wrestling in my heart, but I'm willing. that Kala says, only you can give your heart. No one else can give it for you. But I feel like the Lord is saying, I want you to give your heart. Not just your body, not just showing up. But as you do that, I believe that the grace of the Lord is going to flow through you. As you humble yourself and submit yourself and surrender yourself, the Lord's grace is actually going to flow. And there's going to be an end to a struggle. Not all your troubles, but it'll be an end of a struggle as you come into alignment with the Lord's will for your life. And then, so I'm not going to ask you to come forward because I don't think that's going to help anything. It's giving your heart to the leaders that the Lord has actually asked you to come underneath, and that's something you need to do in person. But I just wanted to ask those who responded to the gospel this morning. Man, we would, if that's the only thing that happened this morning, we would do all of this just for you. Because Jesus said, I leave the 99 to find the one, because that is his heart for you. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he wasn't just thinking of thousands of people. He was thinking about your life. Your life is very, very precious to him. And so I want to ask you to do something brave. I want to actually get some leaders around and pray for you right now, right here in the front. So could I ask you to be brave and actually come out of your seats here to the front so we can pray for you. Those of you who raise your hand to respond to the gospel, we would love to actually pray for you here in the front. We're going to officially close the meeting now, but you can come to the front and we'll pray for you as we're done. But thank you so much, Kala, for sharing. It feels like this word felt like it was for us, right? Isn't the Lord so faithful even to bring the man with the message? Not because it's about the man, but it's about what God wants to do in us. And so maybe let's close in prayer, and then I'll pray with those people who responded to the gospel. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are not called to join a restaurant and have a meal. We are called to be an army. And Lord, this morning, it's like our dreams are dying, but yours are coming alive. And we want to be a people, Lord, that dream your dreams. We want to be an obedient people that come alive as we follow you. And we do confess that your way is better, Lord. Your ways are better than ours. And we trust you with our lives, Lord Jesus. And I want to pray that even as we go from this place, it would be a fresh fire, a fresh life, that as our lives are laid down, you would cause new life, your life, to flow in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Kala and Naoko, for coming through this morning. We really have been blessed by you. I would love to just pray a blessing.